Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Champion the Gamer. Our next roundtable is the Pixel Powers fellas. How are we all?
Yeah, pretty
Good,
good.
thanks, Marv. Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Nah, it's all good. And first to start the way, obviously I threw out the anyone jump in and we didn't jump in together, which is great. Get into maybe Mike, you start. Just chat about Pixel Powers. Where did it all come from? Because we need to know.
Yeah, to be honest, there's a group of us in a WhatsApp, and we all talked about doing a podcast, and there was a lot of like to-ing and fro-ing, like, oh, when should we start? What should it be about? And stuff like that. And eventually, I don't know, it just dropped off. And to be honest, there's like six or seven of us in this group, and like the logistics of it, I just thought, so like me, for example, I'm fairly quiet when it comes to like a group of people. And I'm sure Dylan, you're pretty much the same as well, aren't you? So I don't know, we left it about a year or so, and I just thought, you know what? It might be worth just maybe just two of us doing it, to see how it goes. So yeah, chatted to Dylan and yeah, just went off from there.
I'm going to take some credit though, because I think if you remember when we spoke the first time, I did say to you, your voice and your mannerisms are made for podcasting. So here we are.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, of course, man. Because I've said that you two, especially, have got these voices that everyone listens to. And so it makes complete sense that you'd put that to a podcast microphone. Dylan, how are you finding it?
Yeah, good, good. It's funny too because when I was on your podcast, Marv, it was the next night that we actually recorded episode one. So when it came to the end, when you were saying give your shout outs and all this sort of stuff, I'm sitting going, oh, well, I mentioned that we're going to be doing a podcast. And I was like, no, I'll not say nothing, just in case it maybe didn't happen. Because, like Mike said, it was literally about a year and a bit ago we had all been talking about it, eh? So I didn't want to jinx it. But yeah, it's going good. It's going good. That's pretty much what we called season one finish. So we're taking a couple of weeks off and then trying to come back for season two, maybe change a couple of things up a bit, but we'll wait and surprise you with that once the episodes come out.
Are you finding that that the ideas are flowing? Because sometimes, obviously, when you first start, it's great because you've got these completely new ideas. Then it can dry up a little bit, like content can. But are you finding the ideas are flowing?
It's a good question. I think sometimes we leave it like really last minute and go like, shit, what should we talk about on
Exactly
the
what I
next
do. It's
episode?
exactly what I do.
So yeah, sometimes we just wing it. But we've obviously we've got a passion for gaming, and we find a lot to talk about. And sometimes we'll tell each other we'll try and stick to an hour. And I think the last episode was like 2 hours long, and we just kept talking and talking. But yeah, once it gets going, it's hard to stop sometimes, isn't it?
I think that last episode as well, remember I had a drink. We
Yeah.
started because you
Oh, it's
messaged me
amazing.
before we
Yeah.
started and said, because it's episode 10, shall we have a drink? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So I had the whiskey. I think I drank about half a bottle of whiskey that night. And I ended up staying up till about the back of 12. But yeah, it was like literally, we'll try and keep to an hour. And then it was like 2 hours. I'm sure that was a 2 hour episode or something, eh? I think we've had one episode under an hour. And I think it was maybe the first one, if I remember correctly. And every other one has been nowhere near an hour.
Well, as you know, I consume it. I love it. It's a great podcast. I'll do anything I can to promote it. And what's great about this podcast now is having these roundtables where I've had you on before, so we can come at it from different angles and stuff like that and go through some different bits. So the first thing we're going to do is book club, or what I'm calling book club. Let us know what you're playing right now, what you're planning on playing, and what you're just doing generally in the gaming space. Dylan?
So I've actually been playing a few games because I've recently got a PS Portal that has actually got me back into gaming a lot more. I don't know. I just seem to fall out a bit of love with gaming. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just burnout or what it was. I wasn't really touching my PS5 at all. So recently I've played Still Wakes the Deep, which is the one that Mike recommended to me. And if you've not played that, it's brilliant. It's really good. So I finished that. I finished, is it Journey it was called? It was another one that Mike had recommended to me, just a nice chill game. And then The Precinct, I'm quite far into that. I must be a good 10 hours into that. However, I then stopped it to play Dead Stranding, or Death Stranding, should I say. I had played it before and I got about an hour in and I was like, this is just not for me at all. But again, Mike was like, no, give it time, give it time. And I messaged him the other day. I was like, look, sorry, Mike, I'm so sorry, but I've gave it 4 hours and I cannot play any more of this game. I don't know what it is. I think I need something with a bit more action in it, and it's just not enough action in it for me. So on the back of that, I've actually started Cyberpunk, because it was one of the games that dropped the free games for the month with PlayStation. So I'm about an hour into that. I'm not very far into it, but I'm really enjoying that. But yeah, I tried. I really tried, Mike. I really did, but I just can't get into it, man.
Well, listen,
Yeah.
I've had the same. Sorry, Mike. I've had the same issue with Death Stranding. I just can't be bothered to even look at it, because all I hear is walking simulator. I just can't be bothered.
Right, I think this is where we end the podcast,
That's coming soon. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get into that. But yeah,
to
Mike, what are you playing right now?
be. I'm playing Death Stranding too.
Did you start
Yeah, I've started. I'm
it?
on chapter three now, and compared to at first, there's a lot more action. Like straight from the off. But like when it starts like loading up and there's like a intro video, there's parts of the video where I'm just like, is this real life? Because like it just looks so real. Like the engine that they've used is just brilliant. But then it carries on throughout the game, so like you can just stop and pause and just look at the scenery, and it just looks real. It's amazing. Like, and kind of like what you said, Dylan, like in terms of like falling out of playing video games, especially on PS5, because currently on PS5, the majority of things are either remakes or remasters. You know, that's the bulk of what you can play on the PS5. So yeah, to play a game that's brand new, yeah, it's quite refreshing.
Has this generation been a failure?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I want to say yeah. You know, I want more new titles. I don't want to play the old games that I've still got on the shelf, you know, because yeah, they do remaster them, and sometimes, you know, you get that small nostalgia hit, but it's nothing like playing the original. You know, and like I say, the bulk of the releases on the PS5 at the minute, they're just remasters and remakes, so it's just a bit disheartening. But then one of the first games that got me back into it was Still Wakes the Deep that Dylan mentioned earlier. It's a brilliant game. It's short, and it's a brand new game, brand new story, and it's, you know, based in the UK. Well, it's based in Scotland. You know, so it's more like close to home, so it's really good in that sense. But yeah, I think it is failing us. What do you think, Dylan?
What it is as well, though, I mean, maybe at a stage where we've got so much of a back catalogue of actual games across so many consoles that how many more ideas could you actually come up with for a game, if you know what I mean? Same with movies as well. It's the exact same thing with movies. I mean, a lot of movies now, just off camera, we were talking about the Running Man trailer, obviously the remake of that. How many remakes of movies and things have we had? I mean, what Superman and we on now that's just come out at the cinema. So it's maybe an element of that as well, that how many new, I mean, you do get the odd game, I think, come out. The next one I do want to play is that Exposition 33. A lot of people seem to be shouting out about that, saying how good that is. But there is a lack, I think, of new games that come out every year. Like there's maybe just a handful of them, whereas maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago, there was literally new games pinging out every month, every week almost. There were so many new games coming out. But yeah, I think you're right. There just seems to focus a lot more now on the remakes and remasters. And to be honest, I don't really touch any of them. I've played the original. I'm happy playing the original. I can't even think if I played a remaster, to be honest.
There's a weird curve there, though, right? Because I think we can look back on it in a bit of a harsh fashion. Because you think about the, I don't know, the SNES or whatever, all the games are kind of the same, especially platform era. So there was like thousand, I don't know, 1,000 games. But they weren't all different, were they? Whereas now we're kind of on the thing where there's a scope to actually have more capability to make better games. But like you just said, Dylan, we're so far along the line now where there's been so many games. At what point can you have no more ideas left? You know, so it's a bit of a weird balance, I think, right now.
It is, and that's a great point as well. Because even if you look at like the Mega Drive catalog, and you look at your side scroller beat 'em ups, you had like Streets of Rage, Golden Axe. They're all very similar. They're all characters have got a couple of punch kicks that they can do, a special move. They were really, really similar. But I don't know, maybe just because it was my 6-year-old head or 8-year-old head playing them, it's completely different to how it would be nowadays. But yeah, I've never really thought of it that way, but it's a really valid point. Even like your Mega Drive and SNES and everything had a lot of games that were very, very similar. But back then, I just didn't really think of it that way. It was a new game because I think it's where you didn't have access to as many games when I was that age. I mean, some games were still £50 back then in the 80s, which is a hell of a lot of money. Whereas now, you've got Game Pass, you can go into CEX and get pre-owned games cheap. Obviously, game or game stores, not there's many of them now here, but you can go online. At a touch of a button, you can pick up like your PS5 controller and get a game straight off the internet, wait for it to download. So I don't know if there's maybe an element of that as well. You've just got too much at your fingertips.
I mean, one thing I was going to add to that was you, especially in those times, you saw innovation immediately. Right. If you play, I don't know, Rick Star and you play Golden Axe, there's two different mechanics in there from the same kind of format. So it does stand out. I like what you said about Expedition 33 as well, because that to me is what games should be aiming for. Just add the little bits. The fact you can dodge in Expedition 33 is massive. How many turn-based games have we had? And that's the first time we can do it. I mean, it probably isn't, but the first mainstream one. So those little things matter. I don't think you need to aim for something that's massively different. Just give us a little bit here and there, you know. And then as you go on to the next bit, Mike, I'll start with you. This is what I call the guest subjects. So what's on your mind right now, just gaming related? Anything bugging you, anything on your mind, anything going through your brain right now?
Ooh, I think I've already mentioned it, to be honest. It was just the lack of titles on PS5. You know, I've got Expedition 33. I got it for my birthday. I got it, when was it, May? So I've had it a couple of months, but it's still on the shelf. And the plan was to play it, and then I completely forgot that Death Stranding 2 was coming out. So I had to get straight on that because I absolutely love the first one. So I think the plan is to jump on that after. But you know, as I say, there's not many titles, is there? Like brand new titles that are any good. to be fair, you know, I've heard great things about Expedition 33. My son, he actually played my copy first, and he loved it so much that he went out and bought it himself, so he had his own copy. And he's just got the platinum on it as well, so he's literally been just playing it to death. But he's a massive fan of Final Fantasy VII, and you know, obviously, from what people have said, there's a lot of similarity there in terms of like the gameplay. So I'm really looking forward to playing it because I'm a massive fan of Final Fantasy as well. But yeah, my bugbear is just there's too many remakes and remasters. Yeah.
Dylan, what about you?
Know what my bugbear is at the minute, and it's something that I said I would never do, as I saw an advert for the new FIFA, or EAFC 26, whatever it's called, and I actually banned myself from playing FIFA games a few years back because I literally just got obsessed with playing Ultimate Team, going online playing it all the time, and I'm starting to miss it. And I've been saw a couple of adverts for 26, and I'm sitting going, is this maybe the time for me to return back to playing it again? But I'm like, no, because I know the FIFA rage that I get playing it, but I don't know. It's just something, again, because of what Mike's saying, there's not a lot of games jumping out at me that I want to really play. Even having like the Game Pass thing on PlayStation, everything. Again, you scroll through that and it is literally 80% of it is remakes or remasters. There's not like a lot of like actual new games or whatnot. So yeah, as much as it pains me to say that, I might trip over to the dark side come September and maybe try and pick up the new FIFA, I think.
Is
Don't
it
do
the, yeah, exactly. Is it
it.
the actual online competitiveness and playing against, or is it the game itself? Because if it's the game itself, just play PES. Go and play PES
No.
or something, you know.
You know what I used to get obsessed with was the transfer market. You know how you get the companion app on your phone? I literally probably was on that more than actually playing FIFA. And I used to build like old unbelievable teams with just trading and stuff like that. And then obviously doing the SBCs and the weekly challenges. And I did used to really like it. But the fact that is the more hours I played the actual game, the worse I seemed to get at it. That was the worst thing. But it was quite good to stream as well because quite a lot of people used to come in and obviously laugh at how bad I was at it. And I think that made more of the fun of it as well. But yeah, I don't know what it was. I just get obsessed with it. I just love it. But I think it is the trading side of it that probably gets me more than the actual playing of it, to be honest.
Because I'll say, just go and play Master League. It's the same thing. It's easier. Because
Is
I've
it
been
right?
playing.
I'll have
So,
to look at that.
yeah. So I say, going back to what you said about what we're playing, I literally yesterday started a LMA 2005 save. And I'm currently 10 games in, third in the league, and loving life. I've got Rabini out front. And
Nice.
it's my latest obsession. I've got two bits then. So my first one to go with what you said, Mike. The Expedition 33 thing's on my mind because I finished Tomb Raider recently and I'm looking for something new to jump into. So Final Fantasy 10 is one. But with 33, I'm like, I love this thing, but I can't bring myself to play it. I don't know why. But it's that thing of like the idea of doing it is harder than actually doing it, if that makes sense. Because whenever
Yeah.
I'm with it, I love it. But the thought of playing it's hard. I think a lot of games are hitting me like that at the moment. And so maybe I'm trying to go over that now. But and then the second thing was something that you said in your podcast, Mike, was why do you hate Splinter Cell?
Okay, I think hate is such a it's a strong word, isn't it? I don't think I said hate, did
I
I?
don't think you did your fairness. I'm just like, just
Yeah.
trying to,
I think
button
what it
them up.
was for me, yeah, I think what it was for me, I played Metal Gear Solid, and obviously Metal Gear Solid at the time was just mind blowing. It had a great story, game, great gameplay. It broke the fourth wall, in many parts. And when Splinter Cell came out, and they were like advertising, if you love Metal Gear Solid, you're gonna love this. I'm like, oh, sweet, I've really want a new Metal Gear Solid experience. And I played the first one and I just felt like it lacked the story. There was like obviously the stealthy parts and it's all mission based and things like that, but I just didn't get that same vibe. So I didn't fall in love with it. And because of that experience on the first one, it just prevented me from wanting to play any other releases that came out. So I've only ever played the first one and that's it. But if
Well,
obviously if you can recommend one, that's
no, I was going to say, because I think Dylan, you might have alluded to it, but if you're going back to them now, and I'll say this to anybody, just play Chaos Theory because it's so much easier to get on with because it's more of a sandbox than it is a linear thing. There's more options and everything. It's just a smoother game. And if you play one now, it's so tricky because it's so harsh and there's no like leeway to do anything. So it's a bit of a tricky jump to do that. I was just curious, mate. That was all. There's no, nothing sinister in it. I was just curious. That was all.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. But it does also lead me onto the thing about you said about remakes. Like, I've been playing or have been playing that most recently on the PS3 because it's got the trilogy and it's kind of its own remake, kind of. And so I think remakes can be a good thing. It just needs to be less of them, basically. But yeah, we'll jump ahead to listener questions. So I asked for a couple of questions and we got some. Now, this first one comes from the Chief Gaming Masturbator, which I had to read out loud. He said to you, you've got three developers. You've got Capcom, Squaresoft, and Konami, and you can only save one. Which one do you save?
I'll let Dylan go first.
Oh man, that's a tough one. You can always save one.
He said he can only save one.
See, for me, it'd be between Capcom and Konami. I think. Oh. If I've got to go with childhood memories, for me, I probably would have to save Capcom, purely for the reason the Street Fighter and everything like that. The amount of hours that I put into those games back in the day and playing them with friends and going around to your pal's house, sitting at the edge of his bed, having tournaments and stuff like that. I think that's probably got the most nostalgia feel for me. I know Mike's probably going to disagree with that, to be honest, but I think it would be Capcom for me, just purely for the nostalgia side of it, with the games I played when I grew up.
All right, yeah, that's. I think we're basing it on that. Oh, because obviously, Squaresoft, Final Fantasy, Vagrant Story, brilliant games, and then Capcom. You've got, like I say, like Street Fighter.
There's Resi in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Resident Evil. Oh
You've got
God.
the ISS Pro games for Konami.
But yeah, Konami, there's Metal Gear Solid, there's Silent Hill. Yeah, I'm gonna go Konami. I couldn't imagine a world without. I know Metal Gear Solid is Hideo Kojima, and he's not with Konami anymore, but if Konami ever existed, we'd Konami, yeah.
That's such a tough question, though, right?
Yeah, that's
But to
brutal.
have one is savage. Absolutely. Because
To
my
lose
original.
one might have been easier.
Yeah, because I was thinking about like the ISS Pro games, because I played a ton of them when I was, early 2000s, late 90s. And I'm like, but can you really get rid of a Resi? Can you really get rid of Final Fantasy series? What are we doing? Okay, and this is more of a generic sort of open field one, but we'll go separately. So Dylan, you go first. This is from Chesterfield Gamer, and he said, what inspired you to make content, and what then encouraged you to take the first step to do it?
To be honest, I think I talked about it on your podcast when I actually got my Mega Drive, and it was a drunken message to someone on Facebook Marketplace that was selling a Mega Drive with Robocop versus Terminator, which is literally my favorite Mega Drive game. And it was, again, it wasn't long before COVID that I got it. And then during COVID, obviously TikTok just exploded. And I'd done a couple of like the daft wee trend videos with my daughter and stuff. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a page and just put up some of my games for my Mega Drive and things like that. And it just blew up from there. And that's, I did never thought that I'd still be doing it like all these years down the line, to be perfectly honest. And it was funny because it was really strange that I got a lot of followers at the beginning and they were all from Brazil. Seemingly, the Mega Drive is still massive in Brazil. So a lot of my followers were all like Brazilian. So I find myself posting like late at night, looking at time differences and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just my love of the Mega Drive that I had. And then that spurred me on to buy more games. And then before I knew it, I was starting to collect games rather than just buying them to play them. And yeah, and then just getting interactions out with people. Then once I was able to go live and people were jumping into lives and interacting with people, I found, and I think I've maybe talked about this with Mike as well, that it sort of gave me a bit of a confidence that I didn't have before. I mean, I'm quite a shy person. You might not believe that, but I am quite a shy person. If you were in a room like five or six people, I probably would be the one sort of sitting back a bit more quiet. But from doing that, it definitely gave me like a sort of confidence and wanting to do it more that I didn't have before. That confidence to be able to speak to people that I didn't know, or people coming in and just like having a blather and a banter with them. So yeah, it just sort of grew for that, to be honest.
I love the way, before you go, Mike, I love the way that you can try and like corner the podcast market in Brazil. Like Brazil is ours, thanks. We'll have that. But yeah, Mike, what about you?
Yeah, so to be honest, my TikTok journey started about 5 years ago, during COVID. And this was before I started doing all the retro gaming stuff. And like many people during COVID, there wasn't much to do. So I downloaded an app called Pokemon Go. And I could use that as an excuse to go on a walk and catch Pokemon and stuff like that. And I remember catching this really rare, like shiny Pokemon. It was rare at the time anyway. And I saw other people posting, what they've been catching. I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna share it. And it blew up. It did really well. And I carried on doing it. Like every time I caught a shiny, I just post it. And like people would be commenting like, how is he getting so many shiny Pokemon? And I didn't know. I would just look, I guess. But it like amassed maybe, I think it was around 20,000 followers in total. And I did start going live, started doing Twitch and stuff like that. And then I slowly realized that my audience was like 12 and 13 year olds. So I was just like, yeah, th this isn't my audience. So of retro games, because I thought, it's quite easy. Am I still there?
You are still there?
Oh,
Yeah.
cool. It says my internet's going whoppy. Yeah, so I started making these 3D frames and started posting videos of them. And that did all right. I only got like 100 followers on there, and I thought, yeah. And to be honest, the frames took ages to make as well. Probably took about 5 6 hours of time, because there was so much involved. And I remember in the loft, I've got all my PS1 games, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna gonna start posting a video game per day. And a couple of people that encouraged me to do it were as well, because them too, they were doing, something similar, and I thought, you know what, those guys are doing, and they don't have like this massive setup or anything. Like Dylan was like pulling drawers out in his bedroom, and he had all the Sega games there. And I'm just like, he doesn't have a massive man cave, and he can do it. So I just started doing one video game a day. So I put the video game on my dresser, and then just like, can you remember this absolute class? It just blew up. Like at the very beginning, I got a lot of followers really quickly, and yeah, from there, just my confidence as well. Again, I was really shy. On the Pokemon Go videos, I wouldn't put my face on them or anything. I just thought, oh, I've caught the shining. Just put the text on the screen. But yeah, just like if you look at watch some of my older videos on the Yorkshire Gamer, you'll see like how shy I was. I was very like monotone and just like, who can remember this absolute classic? And from there, like Dylan says, I think eventually you just kind of like get out of the shell and you just get a bit more adventurous and a bit more confident with what you're doing. And it's got to the point where I'm doing lives in the man cave, and I don't know, I'm just a bit silly with it. I just put like a front on, and yeah, I can't explain it. It's just, I think the more you do, the more confident you get. And yeah, so for anybody who's thinking about doing it, I'd just say just do it. Don't worry about how daft you might sound or that, because it's only going to build on your confidence. And yeah, it's actually fun to do as well.
And I think it's
Hey,
obvious.
Marv, you've
No, there you go. You go.
No, I was just gonna say, I think you've talked about that quite a few times on your podcast, Marv, is that you sort of become a character in a way. And it is a little bit like that. And if you can then sort of do that, it does give you the confidence to go in front of the camera more. Because I think the first time that you do it, you're terrified. I like you're really nervous. But then the more you do it, and then you sort of create like a character, a persona yourself, which is pretty much the same person, but in your head, if you do it that way, then it does certainly make it easier, I think.
I think it just allows you to separate it a bit. You don't get too involved mentally. You sort of keep sanity a bit more. And I've sort of always said that it's a case of just be yourself, and it's easier. But you can put that self to 11 for the sake of it. And
Yeah,
then
exactly.
my only other thing that I'll go back to what you said, Mike, is it can work being monotone. I'm living proof of it. It's fine. Just be you. It's completely fine. And then the final one then is a great question. And it's from Cheddar Stink Twitch. If you were trapped in a room together for 24 hours and you could only play one co-op game, what would it be?
Westlife Phanomania.
Is that co-op, right?
Only because I would win every single time.
Because you're a world record holder, that's why you'd have an
That's
unfair advantage.
it. Do you think you
Oh,
could
man,
manage a
that is.
fighting game for 24 hours? Like a
But
pick up, like a Streets of Rage or something like that?
I don't
I'm trying
know.
to think of what I would pick. That's a really good question, because that'd be the obvious choices, like something like Streets of Rage or Street Fighter or maybe Mario Kart or even GoldenEye. I used to love GoldenEye, the four player multiplayer of that. That's a really good question. I think I probably would go down that sort of route. I don't think it would be maybe like a FIFA or nothing like that. I think it probably would have to be some sort of like fighting game, I would think. I think it might be Street Fighter 2. I think it would be something like that for me, because there's enough range of characters as well to keep you occupied, even though it's still just a fighting game. You've got different characters that you can be practicing against, and I might go Street Fighter. I think I would go Street Fighter.
Are we sticking with Westlife? Is Mike there?
I don't know. I'm at, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, he's frozen thinking about Westlife there, I think that's what's
Yeah.
happened.
It looks like you're deep in thought right now. That's what it looks Okay. Are you there? Has he departed? See what it is, Dylan. He's departed just before the quiz. That's what he's
That's
done.
it. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's blaming
Am
his
I back?
internet issues. He's blaming. Oh, he's back. He's
He's
back. There
back.
we
There
go.
he is.
There he is. Did you hear anything of what I said? No.
Nope.
Sorry, Marv. You're gonna have to do some editing,
That's all right.
I
Or I just won't. It's fine. I'll leave it as it
think. Yeah. So I think Street Fighter is a good shout, but I'm notoriously bad at Street Fighter. I used to be all right back in the day when I used to play it on Mega Drive, but I probably not played it since the Mega Drive. So I think if we're talking fighting games, I'd probably go for like Tekken 3. That'd be kind of like my bag. Or if we're talking like racing games, you mentioned Mario Kart. I think it'd be really good to play that because there's like so many different levels. You can play so many different characters, and just the yeah, it's just a good game, isn't it?
Plus, you can add your own
Oh,
little
that.
character, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Oh,
speaking of
another one I've just
challenges,
actually thought of was Marv. Did you say you used to play Championship Manager? Do you ever used to
I used to
play
love
that?
it. I said,
So.
so really quick soliloquy, I played all of them. So Total Club Manager, I played Onside, I played LMA, Footy Manager. What was the Bobby Robson one? There's one of those as well. There's loads of them. Premier Manager, all of them.
The reason I ask is that technically could be done as co-op. Did you ever play Championship Manager with a friend so you
Yeah.
could both manage? And it used to be that you'd have to basically limit how much time each person got because somebody would be sitting there for about 40 minutes mucking about with their team doing it, and you'd be sitting there going, "Come on, I've got to go home. Right, it's my turn now." So technically, that could be classed as a co-op one. And if it was for a full day, you probably wouldn't even get into about a month of the season in a full day because the amount of time it used to take you to update your team and then pass it to the next person and do it that way. So that might be a good one.
Well, it's either that or you manage the same team.
Oh, I think there'd be fights after about an hour if we were doing that, I think.
Speaking of fights, let's get into our next bit, which is coach's quiz. Now, you've prepared yourself a bit of pen and paper, and there's five questions. They're not super tricky, I'd argue. But what we'll do is I'll ask the question, you'll write your answers, and then once the answers are locked in, I'll get you to tell us them, and then we'll go from there and keep score. Is everyone good?
Sounds good.
Sweet. All right. So, question one: rank these four games in order of sales. So, most is number one, least is number four. Okay. So they're all action movie related. You have The Godfather, Scarface, The Warriors, and Enter the Matrix. So, as you're writing this down for the listeners, I'll say again: rank these in the most sales order from one to four, one being the most. You've got The Godfather, Scarface, The Warriors, and Enter the Matrix. Now, my thought with this one is if we write lists, I'll give you a point for everyone in the right space. Yeah, if that makes sense. Okay. How
Okay.
we doing?
Right. I've got my four
Right.
down.
Are we
I've got
locked
my
in?
four
Good, good.
locked in.
Okay, so let's see. Mike, give us your. Should we do all of them together? If you know what I mean? So if you do all four, then Dylan does all four. And then I'll tell you what. Okay. So Mike, give us your four from four to one.
From 4 to 1. So I think the one that is it how many sales?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think in fourth place would be Scarface.
So if you just rattle them,
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
that's all right. I'll do them at the end.
So 4 is Scarface, 3 is Enter the Matrix, 2 Godfather, and 1 Warriors. That's what I think.
Okay.
Mine's is similar. I again had 4 as Scarface. I had 3 The Godfather, 2 Enter the Matrix, and 1 with the most sales would be The Warriors.
Okay, so according to several different websites, I've done some research. Copies sold. Number four is Scarface. Sold just over 2.2 million. In three is The
Yes.
Warriors. I need you to keep your own score.
No.
I can't do that.
What?
Yeah. Number three is The Warriors. Yeah. Number two is The Godfather with just over 4 million sold. And then number one, just over 5 million sold, is Enter the Matrix. Now,
Oh,
believe me, off top
wow.
of me, that's 2-1, right? Because Mike, you had two, didn't you?
Yeah, I got two. I got Warriors and
Only
Into
got
the
one.
Matrix wrong way around.
Okay. So if you keep scoring your own pads, lads, we'll go from there. That's the only multiple choice one in order. That's going to get out of the way. I was surprised at that. I've got to be honest, when I was researching,
Yeah,
I thought the Warriors would be
big
higher than
time.
that.
Yeah, me too. Especially the fact that was Rockstar as well. I would have thought that would have been right up there. That's a shocker.
Well, because I read it as a there was a bit of a scandal on one of the characters. Not in terms of the character itself, but I mean it was copywritten, so they couldn't use it. And it sort of like delayed production a bit, so that's why I didn't release it as soon. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. Okay, so number two. Yeah, let's do that one. Number two, what was Super Mario his original name? Write your answers down now, my friends. Mike looks scared. Yeah, so Mario, what was his original name? And I believe he appeared in Donkey Kong first, I want to say. I might have got that wrong, but he's definitely appeared in different games. And he went under a different name for about a week, and they changed it.
Yeah, I think I know this, but I don't know this at the same time. I'm not confident.
Have you both got answers written down?
Oh yeah, I'll write it down. He's gonna be wrong, but I've
If,
written
okay, if I guess if neither are correct, we'll go to the nearest one. I don't
it
know. So, Dylan, what was your answer?
down. I don't have a Scooby about this, so I just put Mario the plumber.
Okay, Mike, you.
I put Plumber Man.
Oh, do you know what? You're not far off, mate, to be honest. Given to him for the fact that the way you played as him, he was originally called Jumpman.
Oh, Jump Man, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now this one should be slightly easier because you've got a bit of a shot in the dark chance of getting this. So in 20, number three, in 2015, the first six games went into the World Gaming Hall of Fame. Can you name one of them?
Hall of Fame.
Because what I thought we'd do here is there were six titles went in, okay? If you can both name one, I'll give an extra bonus point for every single one you get.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Six.
So this is a Hall of Fame of gaming. This is not just for that particular year, I take it. This is
No. So it was they created a gaming hall of fame. So
right,
titles
okay.
from any time. And
Right,
the clue I'd
okay.
give, because it is a bit of a tricky one, the clue I'd give is the ones you think it should be, it probably is.
All right. Okay.
So like I say, if you can give me one each, great, you can get a point for that. But what I thought I'd do is I'll give you a bonus point for each one you do get. So if you've got six, you get 6 points. Good question, this, because I was looking at this thinking that makes sense, but there's also titles that I'd probably put before.
So,
However, you got any answers
yeah,
written?
I've written six.
I was written six answers. What a ledge.
I've got four of them now. Right.
Happy?
I've
Okay, Mike, since you've got six, do you want to give us all six? And I'd say if you've got any right. If he's still there.
Oh, Mike froze again.
Oh, he blinked. There you go, he's back.
Really sorry.
It's all good, that's all good.
Oh, God.
Have you got your six there, Mike? Do you want to
I
go for it?
do. Yeah, I've got my six. Do you want me to read them out?
Yes, please, mate.
Okay, so I've put Pac-Man, GTA 5,
Ooh.
Tomb Raider, Tetris, Metal Gear Solid, and Final Fantasy 7.
Ooh, okay. If we get yours, Dylan, I'll give you the numbers you've got.
Right, so I had Super Mario Bros. I had Sonic the Hedgehog. I had Pac-Man. I had Donkey Kong. I had Resident Evil and Tetris.
Your list is so much better than mine.
It's hard, isn't it? Because, like, you know, but in 2015, the first six games went into the Gaming Hall of Fame, or World Gaming Hall of Fame. Those games were the following: Pong, World of Warcraft,
Oh man.
Tetris, Pac-Man, Doom, and Super Mario Bros.
Yes.
That's a good shout. I haven't even thought of Doom.
I think the hard part with Doom, I think, was I was like, but like Wolfenstein was first, but
Dylan
Doom was the one that was more of a standout staple of PC gaming, really.
is.
So I do understand that. How many points did we get, boys?
I've got three.
Strong.
I believe Sonic's not in that. How can you have Mario and not Sonic? That's shocking.
Okay, right. Number four. This I think you would appeal to both of you. The first Star Wars game on the Atari 2600 was based on which of the movies? I guess you've got to think of the time period it came out in, I suppose. So, again, for the listeners, in the first Star Wars game on the 2600, the Atari, was based on which of the movies? Have we got answers? Efficient, I like it. Has Mike got an answer?
Yeah, I think I feel like this is a trick question, but
I guarantee you it's not. I guarantee you it's not.
I'm hoping, Mike, you don't get turned around and say, I've never seen Star Wars, because there's so many movies I've mentioned to you and you say, I've never seen it.
I've
Please tell me you've seen Star
seen all the
Wars.
Star Wars.
Right,
Yeah,
that's
good man.
okay then.
Okay, so what's your answer, Dylan?
I went for Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, Mike.
I went for Return of the Jedi.
The first Star Wars game on a 2600 was based on which movie? The Empire Strikes Back.
God damn it.
I thought they were trying to remember the front cover of it, and I'm sure it was like the AT-ATs or something that was on it, was it not? Or the chicken leg ones, and that's the ones in the snow. I'm sure that's the front cover of it, and that's what made me think it was Empire Strikes Back.
Okie doke. So, as we're going to the last question, just for listeners' sake, what scores are we on, folks?
I've got 1 point.
Five.
Oh, you got 5 points.
Oh
You
no,
must have more than. Hang on, mate. No,
oh no,
you
do you not
more than that,
get?
right?
But you're not
Which,
getting a point for it.
are
I thought you were
we?
getting a point for everyone with the Hall of Fame. No,
Yeah. I thought it was a point
yeah,
per question. Okay,
no.
so.
So you got two on the first one, right? Yes,
Right, got
yes.
you. I'm on
Scarface
four
and
then.
Godfather. Okay, good. So what we answer on four and.
Five. I've got one, two, three, four,
Oh,
five.
okay
Yeah,
then.
five.
Okay. So this could be a tie-up or it could be a flat-out win. Okay, so what 1998 Konami game was released in European arcades as the Dancing Stage? So when that game, I've worded that horribly, I appreciate that. So a game was released after that, based on the same game, and it's more commonly known. But when it was released in European arcades in 98, it was known as the Dancing Stage.
Am I allowed to turn round?
Listen, mate, if you want to, mate.
Can I use Google?
No. The clue I give for this one, because it's a bit of an open-ended
yeah.
one, but the clue I give for this one is it's one of the more known active games. Still playing arcades now, and it's also on consoles, and you get an accessory with it. Have you both got answers?
I've got one, yeah. I'm not sure if it's right, though.
Could you just repeat the question one more time, just to make sure I've.
Yeah, so what 1998 Konami game was what 1998 Konami game that was known as the Dancing Stage in the European arcades was released? Another clue I can give is that it's appeared in a hell of a lot of sitcoms.
Right, I've got an answer, but I feel like it's completely wrong.
Okay, Dylan, you were first for that one, so what did you put?
I don't know if this is the right what it was called though, but is it Dance Central?
Okay, Mike.
I just put Dance UK.
It's both so close. You're gonna kick yourself. It was Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
Course it is.
Yeah, it was a weird fact that because it I worded it poorly, poorly because it was worded poorly on the fact I looked up. So bear with that. But okay, so we have our winner. That was Dylan in that one, 5-4. And I'm loving the
Congrats
challenges.
to
Yeah, because these quizzes have opened
that.
my eyes a little bit. Cool. That'll be out of the way. This is the part now where normally we would get into our create a spotlight, so we'd share some content and everything like that. But in this case, because it's a round table, we're going to do our champion thyself. So let us know, fellas, what Pixel Powers is, where it came from, why someone should be following it, and all the good stuff. Don't both go at once.
Yeah, so if you're interested in, like, as I say, retro gaming, two middle-aged guys talking about like your childhood and nostalgia and things like that, then it's definitely podcast for you. As I say, we've had Andy Tudor on as well, who's a well-known game sort of developer who was actually a really good episode. We could have probably talked for about 4 hours with him. Some really interesting stuff. And we're going to be looking to change it up a little bit in season two as well. So we've got some surprises coming and things like that. So stay tuned for that as well.
Have you got more guests on the way? I know you might even want to share that, but are you planning on having more guests?
Yeah, that's I think that's we had Andy on and it went really well. And I think it was good for like for both me and Dylan because obviously having that extra person and getting to learn about them as well, it's I think it's definitely something that we'll consider for the next season, definitely.
Because what are some of your I mean, again, this might tie into the whole sharing of secrets, but what are some of your goals for the podcast? Have you got any aspirations for it? Maybe Dylan, you go.
For myself, to be honest, is again to get some people on it. I try and reach out to maybe because Andy again, he was really that was just by pure chance that we actually got him, wasn't it? It was when Mike was doing his 24-hour stream for Mind, and he was playing a game that Andy had worked on, and just the stories and that he was talking about. I was like, that'd be so cool to try and see if we could get other people similar to him in and just find out about games that we grew up with and played as kids. If we could get people that were involved in that, that would be awesome. But I think we also did talk about trying to get people on that within the retro gaming community, like on TikTok and stuff as well, just to because again, it's great because like, even like yourself, you can sit and speak to people over like the odd comment and message and things like that. But to have like as close to a face to face as this and actually just get to ask some questions and get to know them a bit better, I think that's probably something that we both quite want to do. And I think at the beginning when we did start the podcast, we wanted to just sort of find our feet with it a little bit as well, just having the two of us and sort of build our confidence a little bit and doing the podcast. But yeah, I think we probably are ready now to start reaching out to people, I think, Mikey, and try to mix it up a little bit and try and get people in if we can anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I think it's nice as well because you've already got quite a clear and in a nice way, a good dynamic. The two of you match really well. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes people can not mesh, but the two of you really clearly get on and it works in a podcast format. Did you find yourself thinking this is actually pretty easy? No, I actually get it. It's pretty a smooth transition into podcasting.
Yeah, I think, well, for me anyway, the first episode, I was just a bit like, I'm not sure how to do this. Never done this before, and I don't know if you felt the same, Dylan, but it was just a bit like, I don't know, it just felt a bit awkward, but I think at the very beginning, but then as you start getting into the flow of it, time just passes by so quickly. And obviously we've got the same like common interest, which is video gaming, and in my household, I've got my son, he talks about video games, but he's from the next generation, so he can't remember the games that I used to play as a kid. Whereas someone like Dylan, it's good and quite refreshing to have that conversation. Yeah.
Because
And
what have you
again,
got?
it's only been through like TikTok that we actually knew each other as well. So again, if it like just going back to the question at the very beginning is if neither of us had done TikTok or had started making content, we never would have met. No, like I'm up here in Scotland, Mike's down south. There are probably no chances we would have crossed paths. And I think sometimes as well, even before we start recording the podcast, we've got to try and cut ourselves short for talking because we get set up and talk, and then we literally talk for about 20 minutes, half an hour before we've even hit the record button. And like, right, we better start actually get going now. So we're quite similar in personalities and, like Mike says, the things we like and stuff. So I find it easy speaking to Mike and obviously yourself as well. But yeah, I feel like I'm hoping one of these days we can actually get away for a pint together or something like that and actually meet up face to face. But yeah, because I think we're quite similar people. So it didn't it awkward at the little bit at the beginning just because I think we were quite nervous and we didn't want to mess anything up or that. But I'll be honest, Mike's awesome with like a range of like agendas, and I would say about 80% of the work is Mike that does a lot of it, and pestering me, right, we need to think of this and do that. So he has got an honest totally knack for it, like definitely a knack for it.
How much planning? I mean, this might be a silly question, but how much planning and prep actually does go in? Because I had a question before about like, where do I get my questions from, or how do I plan I plan part of it, but I try and allow a lot of fluid conversation, right? I've got little trigger points I can go back to if we get off track or whatever. But how much planning and prep goes into your stuff?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's like at the very beginning we're just like, oh, should we just do like a get to know you, do the two truths one. It might be a good opportunity for people to us as well, get like a better insight on us. A lot of the from people watching our TikToks, we post a TikTok saying we're doing a podcast later this evening. If you've got any questions that you want answering, we'll feature them on the podcast. So we've started doing that a lot more. Whereas at the very beginning, it was a lot of like, doing like quizzes and stuff like that, like me versus Dylan, and seeing who can come on top. But I found it's a lot easier now. Like at the beginning, it was like, oh, we need to think of a different game, or are we playing this game too much on the episodes? Do we need to mix it up a bit more? But I feel like we've kind of like found a flow, and it's not as hard now. Like at the very beginning, you're always a bit like, ah, what if this doesn't work? But you just gotta try it, aren't you? And if it does work and people enjoy it, then go back to it. But if it's just a complete flop, then put it in the bin and try something new.
I don't know how you boys feel, but I had this thing because I was chatting to Good Game Dan about Good Game Poets, which is also another amazing podcast. But I said, what's amazing is there's like four or five of us now doing this thing, but they're all different. And people, because I had a comment once about like, do you feel a bit off about other podcasts? Why do I feel off about it? It's amazing. We're all different completely. We're all coming from a completely different slant, different angle. And they're great. It's just more game discussion. How do you feel now being a part of like a little podcast community? Do you listen to the others? Do you take a bit of ideas from them and whatever? How do you feel about being a part of that community now?
Yeah,
I
I
think it's
think it's,
pretty cool.
yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, just like I said at the beginning, we talked about doing a podcast for ages, and then obviously your podcast popped up, and like, oh, that's sweet. Marv's doing a podcast, and I think it was 30 something gamers after that, and theirs is really funny. I just
Oh,
love the it's like it's so funny. And yeah, like I say, like we've been talking about it anyway, so I just thought, you know what, let's just do it. And I'm glad we did. And it does feel good to be in this little community now. It's yeah, it's good to be a part of.
and then what I've been doing on these ones now is obviously, it's called championing thyself and whatever because we're trying to share and essentially promote ourselves, right? But the person opposite you, or in this case, above and below, what's the major great thing about the person you work with?
For me, just how down to earth Mike is. He is honestly, genuinely, like a really nice guy. We help each other out. Like if one of us is having a bit of a crap day or that, we go back and forward over text messages. We probably do speak almost daily. Really, I probably speak to Mike more than some of my good pals up here. Just even just random stuff in regards to gaming things or just general chit chat and things like that. But I think because we are quite similar. Similar age, similar like likes in regards to like gaming and all that sort of stuff. I just find it really easy to speak to Mike. And yeah, it's just, he is honestly, genuinely just a really, really nice guy. So I don't know, we just sort of clicked and have bonded. And as I say, and then we've been able to do this podcast and stuff together as well. It doesn't ever feel awkward or anything like that. I went away on holiday and we never spoke for pretty much about 2 weeks. And it was just because I was on holiday. Mike was like, oh, I'll leave you in peace. And we came back and done the podcast. And it was as if we had been speaking like yesterday, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's, and for someone that I've only known Mike as long as I've been doing TikTok, because I think Mike was probably one of the early people that I followed as well, to be honest. I mean, I think we probably started about the same time. I probably only followed maybe about 30 or 40 people at the time I then started following Mike. And then I can't remember, I don't think we really spoke too much at the very beginning, but
Nah.
then over time we probably did, didn't we? And it was the odd message back and forward through TikTok, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, this is my mobile number, and then we just started talking that way as well. So yeah.
And Mike, why didn't so great?
To be honest, Marv, I can't stand him. He's never played a PS3. He's never played Metal Gear Solid. No. No, honestly, Dylan's like one of the nicest blokes I've ever met. And I don't know if, in this day and age, it's hard to make friends. And like Dylan, I've never met Dylan, in real life. And as I said, I came across him on TikTok and I'm like, oh, he's got a nice Sega collection there. And I remember playing Mega Drive back in the day. And so I dropped him a follow. And then I think it was when TikTok Shop came about. So like me and Dylan were like one of the first people to do TikTok Shop. And there was this handheld called the Pow Kitty. And we both got one. And I don't know that I think there was a bit of competition.
Just leaving in suspense moments, I love.
Oh, I know, just he was about to go into it there.
Right. It's because he just freezes in point, like just like
I
this.
know what he's going to say as well, I think, if it's
Did I
when he's
cut
talking about
out?
the pow kitty. Yeah, just before you, about the pow kitty bit, we just heard you say pow kitty.
Wait, he can't
Oh, I
get
think he's
out.
cut out again.
The competition part, he can't get out.
I don't think he's paid his internet bill. I think this is a problem.
He might jump back in a minute, but what I'll do is that I'll do my bit now, which is the point where, like, I mentioned this to you, Dylan, but the both of you are kind of like these omnipresent figures in our space, because it's whether or not you follow yourselves or whether or not you actually know who you are personally. We know of you, like we know of you and your name somewhere. It's out there in the ether. I've heard of Retro Sega. I've heard of Yorkshire. Like, it's just there. And that, I think, says a lot about you guys, because you're just a staple of the online community now. And I think you should be proud of that. I joked about the Illuminati group you've got in your WhatsApp. But, like, it's true. There's a group of you that are, like, what I would say are head and shoulders above the rest of us, because you have been that. I get called a pillar every now and then. No. There's likes yourselves and Super Nerd Simon and guys like that have been there and done it, got the t-shirt twice. And we do try and emulate you a little bit. So I think you deserve that bit of flowers there.
Yeah, I think with that as well, though, like it's, see, I have heard people say that, but I don't think of it that way at all. Because I think you podcast alone has opened my eyes to so many people. And I think I've said this to you before. There were so many people I had never seen on TikTok or things. I used to be really bad for just like flicking through like
Yeah.
FYP and watching like a load of rubbish and stuff. And probably not jumping into enough people's lives and doing things like that. And it's just because I was doing my own sort of thing, just been left to it, and there was only a couple of people I spoke to on TikTok. But being able to listen to your podcast and seeing all these other people and then dropping them all follows and then interacting and things like that, I think myself and Mike were quite lucky at a time when we did have our accounts, that during COVID it was easy to grow
Yeah.
an account on TikTok. I mean, now it's hard. Like, it is really, really hard. So if you've got a account with a couple of thousand followers, that would probably be when me and Mike started, the equivalent of having like 30, 40,000 followers, because it was so much easier to get followers back then than what it is now. I don't think there's a lot of people that do watch. I get people that interact on my videos all the time, ask questions, like and everything, but they don't follow me. I click on their page and I see they don't follow me. So I think it's a different culture now, I think, with people. They don't just follow and follow people and follow and just think, right, that's it. So I think it is a lot harder to grow like accounts nowadays than what it was before. I don't know if you agree, Mike, but I certainly think it is this way, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like some of the posts that I post these days, if I'd have posted the same video 2, 3 years ago, it would have got like 500,000 views, you know. And I post it these days, and I'm lucky to get 500 views, you know.
I've got a
Yeah,
bit of
I
that
agree.
because I think even I don't follow trends or the algorithm or any of that kind of stuff. But even I've noticed, I think the last sort of 3 or 4 months in particular, everyone's views have dropped a little bit. Everyone's accessibility dropped a little bit. Maybe it's a TikTok thing, I don't know. But I think it's just stick the course with it. For those that are worried about their numbers, one, don't be. But two, it's just part of the culture, I think now. It's just there's so many of us out there, which is fabulous, and we need as many as we can get. But just remember that there's so many of us, there is that it's difficult to grow to numbers, quote unquote, you might want to get to. Before we finish then, or we always do this, is there anything either of you want to finish with? There might not be.
I just want to say thank you for inviting us on. It's absolutely brilliant seeing your podcast. As I say, I listened to it. I've almost caught up. I've been binging it, so I've almost caught up. I'm on a Retro Hubs episode, so I've only got a couple more to go. But yeah, just honestly, thank you for inviting us on.
Anything from Mike down there? Is he live
Is
still?
he
Am I
frozen again?
here? Yeah.
Oh, I think you're there.
But need some internet out.
I can't wait to post a video. This is going to be hilarious because they're just going to see, like.
Oh, mate. But yeah, thanks, Marv. I think I said it on the podcast that I did with you yourself, episode 3. Just thanks for what you're doing as well, because you know, as Dylan said earlier, half of these people, they are about on TikTok, but they're just, we don't, for some reason, we don't see them. So it's just like you're sharing, you know, this is this person, this is what they do, this is why they're great, and this is why you should be following them. And you know, I've just finished listening to the JPS Darko one, which was a really good one, so I'm nearly caught up as well. But yeah, you know, just thanks for having us on, and yeah, thanks for what you're doing. It's great.
No, I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, just on that, I always like to mention this, but it's never a case of me saying you have to follow someone. And I think that's why it's important the message stays the same. Because like if I throw out 10 different, like I love people that post these massive long lists of people, like a picture or something, of like loads of different names. But I feel it's a bit, little bit shallow. And maybe I'm a little bit harsh there or a bit too up myself maybe. But because I do that, I don't find it as impactful. I think people that post someone, even just one person, oh, I saw so and so today, they do this, maybe give them a look. I much prefer that to someone just saying, here's a list of 25 people. And so, you know, it just is what it is. But no, you guys have been
Well,
amazing.
it's going to grab somebody as well, to be honest, though, because I see that all the time, and it's great. I think people probably think that's I'm doing a really good thing here, posting like say 10 people's names or 20 people's names. But think of what would be better is if you do 20 different videos of one person in each video, it would work. It would help you because you're getting your name out there as well, which is a good thing for you. But it's also probably there's more chance that somebody on their phone is going to look at their phone and click on that name and have a look at it. If you see a screen with 20 names on it, who is likely going to click into every one of those 20, follow, come out, click on follow? And that's why I like, obviously, you've got the podcast. I can go in and I find myself saying, oh, I've never heard of this person. I'll listen to it. I'll then find them on TikTok, watch some of their videos. Yeah, I'll definitely follow them. And it's the same with your shout out videos on TikTok. 8-Bit Gamer's another good one that does that as well. He usually does maybe 4 or 5, which I think is probably the sweet spot amount as well, that there's not too many of them. People, it's good to see it that people want to be champion people and sharing people like Dan the Gamer Man as well is the same. People all sort of champion each other, and there's not enough of that. There is a up here in Scotland anyway, there is a bad culture of if people see somebody doing good, right, how can we tear them down? How can we bring them back down to like a lower level because they don't like to see people succeed and that. And there is, I don't know what it's like down south, but there's definitely a big element of that in Scotland. Like, I don't know, you'll probably, you'll never hear of it, but the Scottish TikTok, There's not a lot of people on Scottish TikTok that I speak to because a lot of them are like they're crazy what they're doing. There's not a lot, but the gaming side of it, I've got GPS Darko, I've got Jim for Battleland Retro Games, Brian Weir, Graham Watt. There's a few guys that I do speak to, but the retro community does pull together and they are really like supporting each other. I think they do like champion each other and help each other out. So it's amazing to see. I really, really like it.
I'm such an old man that's been through a lot because you mentioned Brian on your podcast and I've followed him since then. And you were, hang on, correct. Good morning, folks. And it's like the most wholesome thing I've ever seen. I love it. It brings a smile every single time. It's so good. Okay. All right. I'll let you guys go. It's been amazing. You've been episode 66, and I'll catch everybody on the next one.